Well, another individual who is vying to keep his boast, and I'll tell you, one of the more respected guys in the business, Sheriff Errol Toulon Jr. Nice enough to give us a couple of minutes here on this Columbus Day. Sheriff, great to have you back on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jay. Thank you very much for having me.
It is an absolute pleasure. I've admired you for a long time, just the way you go about your business and everything else. What are you feeling as far as, 22 days out now, as far as this election, Sheriff?
I'm doing the best I can. I'm hoping that the voters see the 3.5 years that I've been in office of really trying to make sure that Suffolk County is safe, so our residents feel comfortable shopping, their children walking around town. Working on inmate programs so that those individuals that are incarcerated, when they return back to our community, because the average stay in our facilities is only 26 days, that those individuals can return back to a new life and hopefully don't reoffend and realize the support and help that they have in their community.
How has COVID been factored into the equation as far as your tenure there so far? Obviously something we have never experienced. As far as the occupation and everything else, I mean, it kind of shed a little more light on things, I would imagine. Give me your experiences so far over the last 18 months.
It was tremendously challenging in the very beginning. We put our plans in place the first week in March, and we were very fortunate from March until the first week in December. We only had 3 inmates that actually tested positive, which is really a testament to my staff and a great job that they did. If you look at other jails and prisons throughout the country, we have had some challenges with staffing, with our staff contracting the virus, but I think we've tried our best to mitigate it for being introduced inside the facility. So we did have a challenge at one point regarding our staffing and, trying to make sure that we had adequate staffing inside our facilities and also with our deputy sheriffs. But, I can say that everybody has done what they're supposed to do. They wear masks. If they have some sort of symptoms, they're going to call a medical evaluation unit. And, I can tell you that the supervisors in the sheriff's office are really fantastic.
One of the things I always admired about you was, Sheriff, you really got into the community. You wanted to speak to the residents. You wanted to know their concerns. You wanted to get an idea. You wanted to kind of take the temperature, so to speak, of the community. You've done a great job in that respect. What was the thinking of that, and what has the accomplishment been as far as the residents themselves are concerned? Go ahead, sir.
I think the most important thing for the residents to understand that the Suffolk County Sheriff's Office is there to work with them and assist them. And so, I was in 1 to 2 schools per week prior to COVID, talking to students about bullying, vaping, opioids, and gangs, and really trying to understand the challenges that they face. Community centers, firehouses, senior centers. Suffolk County is such a large place, as you know. And in order for me to get a better understanding, to try and figure out what is going on in these communities, especially sometimes the things that are going to lead individuals into the custody of the sheriff's office, residing in either our Riverhead or Yaphank jails. But what can we do to make not only our community safe or prevent individuals from that criminogenic behavior? And so, I can tell you I've learned so much just from speaking to various residents. Sometimes it's even in the supermarket if someone recognizes me, of different issues that members of our community are faced with, whether it's substance abuse, domestic violence, mental health issues. And so, trying to direct those individuals to the proper resources we have in their county, in this county, so that we can help them.
Pandemic, you have the obvious situations at hand, right? We have seen spikes in the opioids. We have seen spikes in the fentanyl. We've had, unfortunately, we had that little spate of 9 days where we had 9 overdoses, 6 deaths, sheriffs out in the East End. I mean, this is all a derivative, part of it at least, has to be in part with this pandemic in place. The isolation and everything else. We've seen some suicides elevate a little here. I mean, you've seen this all take place all within 18, 19 months, right?
Yes, and, you know, not only that, you know, our just within our, you know, that's out in our community, but when you look at some of the things that we're faced with inside the facility, not only we have individuals that have these issues with that that legislation, which I was vehemently against, the bail reform legislation, you know, it puts my staff at a different type of pace inside the facilities, because these men and women don't fit the criteria to be released back into the community. And so it's a different type of environment that we're now faced with than when I first started in 2018. But, you know, with the pandemic, you know, we've been able to have our service providers meet virtually with individuals regarding substance abuse and mental health. So, you know, we've really tried to make sure that those services are uninterrupted so that they continue to get the care that they need. But it has been an extreme challenge, not only for the inmate population, also my staff.
It's interesting because, you know, you've recognized that bail reform is not a good idea. Are you surprised as far as your regime, your tenure so far, where it has gotten, Sheriff, so politicized that public safety is actually now put on the back burner because of all this back and forth? I mean, this is all what we've witnessed, right, over the last couple of years. But, I mean, it has to be a shock to the system, no?
It's not only is it a shock, it's an extreme disappointment being in law enforcement for over 30 years. One of the things that I look at is the victims of these crimes. Whenever you're going to release anyone back into the community, and let's make it very clear that the judge's discretion has been removed. And so the judges are just following the state legislation. And the state never, you know, even if they're going to say individuals have to be released on no recognizance, they're not mandating any services for these individuals to attend, whether it's mental health, substance abuse. You know, it's just tragic. And it's tragic in the fact that the law enforcement community wasn't brought to the table to be able to discuss where this where their thoughts are with the proposed legislation and what they saw, so that at least we can at least have a voice and say, these are the potential impacts of what you want to propose. But that never happened. And now, you know, we see shootings are up all, you know, across New York State. We see violent crimes are up. We're seeing horrific acts on the news of different things that are occurring, more specifically in New York City. But, you know, we don't want that type of behavior. We don't want those individuals in Suffolk County.
Amazing. And listen, we've said three things. The judge's discretion is key. I mean, in order for public safety to be at the forefront, you must let a judge do his or her job here in deciding whether an individual needs to be jailed pending a trial. I mean, my goodness, it's hard to believe. But, you know, I've also said, Sheriff Tula, the presumption on rapid disclosure of victim and witness information, I've always felt that has to be reversed because, you know, when you think about the names and identifying information should be redacted, at least until defense attorneys make the case for why they need to know at the start of the process. And the other thing was, you know, the slashing of the rest of the new discovery requirement, at least to a level that crime labs and prosecutors can manage. And I'm talking about in a timely manner. I thought those three things had to be addressed, and they really weren't. And I think that's why we're having massive problems. Even the latest regarding Rikers Island and the 193 that were let out, and I understand as of this morning, 9 have been put back in because of crimes that were committed as far as being let out over the last couple of weeks. See, it's stuff like this that we need to somehow figure out, right? No?
You know, you're 100% correct. And, you know, working in reverse from your statement, you know, Rikers Island has been mismanaged by City Hall and the de Blasio administration, even going back to my tenure there. And, you know, I worked there for 25 years and saw some horrific decisions that not only affected the inmates, but also the staff themselves. But when you go back to your earlier statement regarding the victims, you know, no one is considered, you know, you're going to think about victimization, or I should say victim intimidation, when these individuals acquire their personal information. And, you know, when I've talked to the district attorney's office regarding the discovery challenges that they've made, it's insurmountable sometimes trying to make sure that they're compliant with this legislation. And so, you know, that was, and I can't speak for the district attorney's office, or any office, any DA's office throughout New York State, because I don't know if they had any prior conversations with our state legislature regarding this legislation. But I know when I speak to my law enforcement partners, especially the heads of law enforcement organizations, they claim to me that they've had no discussions or were not participants in any crafting of this legislation.
Yeah, it's been a back and forth as far as conversation. Talking with the sheriff, the fine sheriff of Suffolk County, Earl Tulin Jr. Sheriff, what are you most proud of over the years as far as what you've accomplished? So many programs set up yourself, but what are you most proud of over your tenure so far?
There's three, and I'll be very quick. So one is our START Resource Center, where we're working post-incarceration to help these men and women after they leave our jail. And we've had over 600 people, so even during a pandemic, come back to a correction setting or at least reach out via telephone or email to talk to our staff about the resources in the communities that they're returning back to. But there are two things. You know, the staff saw the way, because we're trying to change the paradigm in criminal justice, which I think there are a lot of people throughout the country seeing, but our staff were able to develop two programs. One was a book club, and the other one was a resource center to try and help these men and women. And these were staff-initiated programs. So I think that, you know, while we still maintain law and order in our facilities, we do recognize they're going to be walking our streets very soon, and why not try to help them while they're with us?
No question. What about staff? You know, we have seen a lot of shortages in and around the country. We know what's happening as far as police forces and whatnot, especially in our big city. We've had units that have been taken away. We've had a lot of sound off regarding defunding. You know, officers of the law might not feel as loved as they once were way back in time. How has that affected your office? Where are you at as far as staffing is concerned overall here?
Well, we're tremendously... we have a deficit with both our deputy sheriffs and correction officers. And one, you know, with the pandemic, we weren't able to put through any classes for correction or deputy sheriffs last year. And so now as we have this opportunity, you know, unfortunately, with our deputy sheriffs, they go through the police academy, which, you know, this requires not only Suffolk County Police Department, but the East End Police Department are all incorporated. So, you know, we're going to have smaller classes, even though the county has promised to put deputy sheriffs in each of the next three classes. You know, our correction officers, we're short over 175 correction officers. It seemed like, just from what I was watching, you know, once bail reform, I started to notice staff retirements occur. Many of our staff on the correction side tend to move over to other law enforcement agencies if they're on that civil service list. And, you know, staffing in general, as I said earlier, with not being able to put through a police class, not having another test, has really diminished our ranks. COVID was another reason why staff decided to retire, because, you know, everybody was concerned about their own health or the health of their families. And so we're hoping at some point, luckily, with the reduced inmate population, it has made it somewhat manageable, but you know, we definitely need more correctional officers, more deputy sheriffs, and even more civilian personnel in our agency.
What about vaccinations in general? Have there been a lot of pushback? There's a lot of mandates in place. You're seeing that in the city. What about some of the situations regarding the vaccination process right now in Suffolk?
You know, I would hope, especially when it comes to my office, that the men and women make a reasonable choice, speaking to their physicians on determining whether the vaccine is appropriate for themselves. My stance is, you know, I've had my own health issues in the past. I spoke to my primary care. He suggested I accept the vaccine, so I did. We do offer the vaccine to our staff, anyone that wants it. It is a challenge because of the many different things that they eventually either believe in or hear about regarding this vaccine, and so it's their choice as to whether they want the vaccine or not. But I would hope that they would think to keep themselves safe and their family safe and make a prudent decision whether they should accept the vaccine or not.
Sheriff Earl Tulin Jr. vying for re-election, ladies and gentlemen, 22 days out. Sheriff, we'll keep an eye on things, maybe bring you back day or two prior It's always great having you on the program. Keep up the good work there, all right?
Thank you very much, Jay. Hope you have a great day.